Says the next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, and so he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Verse 14, then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. Verse 20 and 21 says, the next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this moment together in your word today. And Lord, I ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit present and evident and moving in and among us right now, that Lord, we will have an absolutely life-transforming, life-changing encounter with you. Lord, even if that change is just one simple step closer to you, one simple step, God, in the direction that you are calling and leading us, Lord, I pray that today you will anoint us to do that in Jesus' name. God, everyone that needs encouragement, let us find it in your word today. Everyone that needs healing, let us find it in your word and in your presence today. Lord, everyone that needs every area in our lives that we need convicted, let us find it in your word today. And in your name I pray. Why don't you put your hand on your belly right now? Pray this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me right now. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be who you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, let me ask you guys, parents, you've probably experienced this. Wives, maybe experienced this. Maybe husbands, you've experienced this. But this seems like maybe a guy thing. I know it's probably something I've done a million times. And I've been on both ends of what I'm about to describe. You've seen this. You may have felt this rage. You may have felt this anger. How many of you have been sitting on the couch? You've had supper. You've had dinner. It's, I don't know, it's 9, 10 o'clock at night, and that little sweet tooth kicks in. You know what I mean? You're like, man, I just need a little something before I go to bed while I keep watching Law & Order or whatever you're watching on TV or binging on, whatever your nighttime routine is. You go to the cupboard. You go to the pantry. You go to wherever you keep your snacks, all right? And there you see that box of whatever your snack is, that box of cookies. Maybe it's chocolate chunk cookies or something, man, let me tell you what I discovered this week. I found these, they've in this grocery store here locally, they've had the Drake's brand, like Little Debbie snack cakes, and they are far superior to Little Debbie's. I mean, they are unbelievable. I had these things called an Alpine Yodel. It was like a white version of a Swiss cake roll. And it was it's unbelievable, right? So whatever your thing is, right, you find it, you see the box, you're like, yes, that's what I'm about to get down on. You grab the box, and as soon as you grab the box, you already know the weight is off. It doesn't feel right. You pull that box out, you look inside, you got an empty box of Swiss cake rolls, you got an empty box of zebra cakes, an empty box of ring dings, or whatever you're looking for. How many have ever felt that immediate rage, and you're ready to choke somebody? Who in the world had the nerve to put an empty box of zebra cakes back in the cupboard? Just me. I'm the only one that flies into a Hulk-infused rage. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm tearing my shirt off. I'm calling the cops. Let me tell you what is awesome. Let me just say this, Luann. I'm going to tell on you for a second, dear. Let me tell you what is equally annoying. This is what my wife will do. My wife will leave like one cookie in the package. Or she will eat ice cream. She will get ice cream, whatever, and leave like one spoonful left so as to be able to say, well, there's still more in there. I'm like, what? This is, no one can be satisfied with one spoonful of ice cream. No one wants one cookie. You understand what I'm saying? And so either way, it's all bad. And so let me tell you. And you're like, what are you talking? Well, what is the problem here? This miracle is like, it seems like Jesus, I mean, he got a little aggravated with this fig because there was no figs. And here's what you have to understand. The reason that Jesus responded this way in this moment is because these fig trees that they were accustomed to seeing growing, that grow around the area of Jerusalem and Israel where Jesus lived his life, if this fig tree had leaves on it, that was a sign, and that was how they knew that figs should have accompanied the leaves. So when Jesus from a distance sees leaves, that's basically like looking in the cupboard and seeing the box and going, oh, we got a snack to eat. And then when he got over there, realized the figs haven't come in yet. This tree was doing some false advertising, and he flew into the same rage that I fly into at 10 o'clock at night and said, make no, like here, let me tell you, I had this happen to me another way too. The other day, I was busy. I was doing something. I was doing something at the school that lasted well past my dinner time, and I was about an hour to go in the job, and I was thinking, man, what am I going to eat? It's too late for me to cook, and I don't feel like cooking now at this point, so I'm going to have to go get takeout. And I began to think about wings. I began to think, man, it's been a while since I had some good wings. So I began to really think about, I'm going to order. I said, as soon as this game, in fact, 10 minutes left in this thing, I'm going to call the wing place. I'm going to order some wings, right? So sure enough, came down to it, called the spot, called Luandy. I was such a good husband. I was like, hey, I'm going to order takeout, babe. Do you want something too? Like, that was, I was really feeling good about myself at that point. You know what I mean? And So she's like, yeah, I want something. So then, so I called the place. I was like, hey, I want 35 wings. No, I didn't want 35. I said, I want to order wings. And you guys still open? She's like, yeah, y'all, we got wings. I said, I want however many traditional wings. And she was like, oh, well, we only have boneless wings right now. Let me just help you out real quick, people. Boneless wings are not a thing. Okay, no chicken has wings that don't have bones in them. You understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you what. Boneless wings are adult chicken nuggets. That's just, you don't feel grown up enough to say, I want chicken nuggets, but that's all it is. Boneless wings are just chicken nuggets that are dipped in sauce, and that's fine. If you want to eat chicken nuggets dipped in sauce, that's fine, but I think we should all stop calling them wings. Let's just call them grown nuggets or something like that. I don't know. But boneless wings are not wings. Boneless wings are not wings. You know what I said? I was on the phone, and she said, we only have boneless wings right now. I said, may no one ever eat a wing from your restaurant again, and I hung up the phone. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that, but I thought about it after I read this. So that's what that's what Jesus is experiencing here. The tree is advertising, hey, I've got fruit, come get something to eat. And when Jesus shows up, there's no fruit there at all. And he says, may no one ever eat fruit from this tree again. And it's really important to notice here as well. This is the one and only miracle that Jesus ever is recorded doing that is destructive in nature. The only time that Jesus did anything that wasn't building up, that wasn't encouraging, that wasn't life-giving, but in fact destroyed life, was in this moment right here. And I think one thing that we need to take away real quick and learn about the nature and the character and the expectation of Jesus is this, is that the only thing Jesus ever cursed was a tree pretending to have fruit that it didn't have. Jesus does not play games with pretenders. You want to anger God. You want to anger Jesus. You want to get on the wrong side of the Father. Then guess what? Go through life, walk around pretending to be something you're not, pretending to have something you don't, pretending to know Jesus when you don't. Friend, you will find yourself withered up and shriveled pretty quick in your life. Amen, somebody? If this tree had not had leaves and just been honest and said, hey, it's not time yet, I'm not ready yet, I don't have anything to offer yet, there would have been no problem. Jesus wouldn't have had any problem at all. But because he was advertising, hey, come, I've got something to give you, and then when you got there, there was nothing there at all, that's what caused the problem with Jesus. Amen? And the only thing Jesus, in fact, this is the only thing Jesus, the only time Jesus ever uses the words cursed it and told it to die was in this moment when something was pretending to be something that it wasn't. In my life, friend, I want to be a lot of things and I could be a lot of things, but one thing I don't ever want to be, and God help me never to be, is a pretender. Amen, somebody? Amen. Is a pretender. God would rather me be honest about my failures, my faults, and who I am than try to pretend that I'm somebody I'm not. Amen, somebody? I heard a preacher one time say it like this, God cannot bless who I pretend to be. God can only bless who I'm honest about who I am. Amen, somebody? And so that's the first thing we need to understand. But then when it comes to seeing and knowing how Jesus moves and how miracles take place in your life, I love this miracle Because again, it points to the fact of, and it points to this basic idea, and that what is a key in understanding how God moves in your life. Amen? And listen, we're here for a move of God. Amen? I think I said this last thing. I'm going to say it again. We are here for a move of God. I'm not here to play games. We're not here to just offer up religion. We're not here to go through the motions. We are here to see God move in our families, in our homes, in this church, in our city, in our county, and where we God has called us to go. Come on, somebody. So if I am expecting a move of God, I need to know how God moves and how God operates so that I am ready for it and I don't miss it when it comes. Amen? And so we are looking at how Jesus moves and what Jesus did, and we're taking out the keys and nuggets to understand what happens and how Jesus operates. And this gives such insight into how Jesus operates because of this. Watch this now. I want you to notice that there was a gap between what Jesus says and what the disciples see. Jesus said, "May no one ever eat from your fruit again." Goes on about his day, and it wasn't until the next day that they came back that the disciples noticed that anything had happened at all. You notice that? So when Jesus initially speaks, nothing happens. The only thing that happened was the Bible says the disciples heard it. At least the only thing you could see happening. And the next day, it was the next day, and Peter sees the tree is withered and shriveled up and died. Peter's like, "Oh, wow, Jesus, look, what happened? What you said." But there was a gap between what Jesus said and what the disciples see. And what we need to understand is that almost, I will go as far to say it's probably 99% of the time when God is moving in your life and when God says something or puts a burden on your heart to believe for something, or when God leads you to begin to speak something or pray for something, listen, there will almost always be a gap between what Jesus is saying in you, through you, and what you see happening around you. Amen? In fact, I'll go as far to say this, much of the Christian experience and much of the life of faith is lived somewhere in the gap between what God has said and what I see in my life. Amen? And I want you to understand something. Let's talk about the "say" part for just a moment. Because this story is actually repeated in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21, Matthew tells this exact same story at this exact same time. This is Jesus' first day one and day two of his 7-day Passion Week before he goes to the cross. So this is Jesus. Jesus has they've had the first day where he rides in on the colt of a donkey, and it's called the triumphal procession, and the crowd is there, and they're laying down palm branches and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and all that. And then Jesus goes to the temple. Now, where Matthew and Mark differ is just a little bit of the timeline is a little bit different here. And it's really important here because in Matthew's version, Matthew doesn't give a gap between when Jesus said it and the disciples noticed it. This is how Matthew said it. I'm not going to read to you, but in Matthew 21, the Bible says that Jesus curses the fig and says, "May no one ever eat from your fruit again." And Matthew says that immediately the fig tree shriveled up and died. This is very interesting. And then the next verse in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, simply says, "When the disciples saw it, they were amazed." So what we can gather there is that the difference here is that Matthew just simply didn't tell us when the disciples saw that the fig tree was cursed. But I want you to understand, and we need to take away and grasp this concept. According to Scripture, when did the fig tree die? Matthew says immediately, right? But the disciples didn't see it until the next day. But the Bible says that the fig tree withered and died immediately, even though no one saw it happen physically. Are you feeling where we're going here? Yeah. If I'm going to experience God moving in my life, I need to understand so that I can live in that gap between what he says and what I see. I've got to understand, don't miss this, that just because I don't see it doesn't mean God hasn't done it. Just because it hasn't, just because I can't put my hands on it yet, doesn't mean that heaven hasn't moved and things are happening in my life regardless of what I see. We need to understand that miracles take place at the speed of God's voice, not the speed of my sight. What Matthew tells us about this, and it's such a great little nugget, is this. That the moment that Jesus spoke, something happened. The moment that the word of God was released into the atmosphere and into the scene, immediately heaven responds and things begin to happen. I just may not be able to see it yet. I've got news for you. There may be some things that you have spoken, some words that God has given you, some dreams that you've gotten a hold of, some word from the Bible that you've been praying and quoting and believing over your life, and you may not be seeing anything yet. I want you to understand, just because you can't see it yet doesn't mean something isn't happening. Stay in faith. Live in the gap. Listen, God's word, God's hand moves at the speed of his word, not the speed of my sight. Amen? When the word comes on the scene, something happens immediately. And I want you to notice this too, because this, if you really break this down, Jesus might be being a little unfair to this tree. After all, both authors, Matthew and Mark, point out that it wasn't even the season for figs. It was too early. This tree should not have had any figs, except it had a leaf on it saying, hey, I've got figs. Okay? This would be like a couple years ago. A couple years ago when everybody was buying up all the toilet paper. It'd be like a store saying, hey, we've got toilet paper. And then you get there and they got no toilet paper. That's the same thing. Even though you knew it didn't make any sense, everything's out, you know what I mean? That's what it is. Here's the thing. Why was Jesus so upset? Why did it matter if it wasn't even the time, if it wasn't even the season for figs? Here's what else I need to understand. Listen to me close now. A season in the natural doesn't mean anything when God says it's time for a different season in my life. Amen? When Jesus shows up saying, hey, it's time for you to bear some fruit, it doesn't matter what it looks like around me and what's happening outside of me and what circumstances I'm dealing with. My season is dictated by the word of God and what Jesus says, not based on what I can see. Amen, somebody? Amen. The only season that matters is the one that Jesus says. And this is what you need to understand. Listen to me close. I want you to get this idea down in your soul. Living in faith means getting comfortable in the gap between what I see and what I say. Between what I say and what I see. Living in faith is literally living in the gap between what I know God is saying and what I know God has said and what I'm seeing in my everyday natural life and the circumstances and surroundings around me. That is living in faith. And if I'm going to live in faith, I'm going to have to get comfortable. I'm going to have to learn how to live in that gap. Because if I cannot live, and if I cannot serve Jesus, and if I cannot trust God in that gap, guess what? I'm going to lose a lot of miracles in that gap. I'm going to lose a lot of God moving in my life that he's planned to do in that gap. I run the risk of losing the movement that God has spoken over my life if I can't live comfortably and learn to live in faith in the gap between what I say and what I see. So what do I need to do in that gap? I need to learn to love Jesus in that gap anyway. I need to learn to worship God in that gap anyway. I need to learn how to pray and trust Jesus in that gap anyway. Well, let's talk about how do we do that then, preacher. That's real good to say. What do we do? Well, listen, if we continue this story, Jesus actually gives us some ideas right after they see this fig tree the next day. Let me pick this up. I'm going to read verse 20 again, and then I'm going to read this through verse 25. He says, but the next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. And then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, verse 25, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Jesus, right after this gap moment happens, tells us exactly what we need to do, tells us exactly what we need to have in our life so that we can fill the gap. Everybody say, fill the gap. Turn to your neighbor and say, fill the gap. Turn to somebody behind you, slap them in the head if they're not awake, and say, fill the gap. What are we feel? How are we going to fill the gap? The first thing I've got to fill that gap with is faith. Jesus says, Peter's amazed. Man, there was a man, Jesus, you spoke and nothing happened. See, what you see in the scripture and what you see in Jesus' life, we talked about this a little bit last week. Remember, the Gospel of John ends by saying Jesus did so much that you could write until the world ends and there would not be enough trees and enough paper created to fill and to write down everything that Jesus said and did. So you got to understand that what you see in the Gospels is the highlights. The stuff that we, you know, the stuff that we talk about. Listen. If we prayed for somebody right here, and let's say we had somebody that God led us to pray, and they were blind, and if we saw blind eyes open right in front of us, which we can, should, and through the Holy Spirit, we believe we can see that happen today. Amen, somebody? But if that happened, that would be a highlight. Amen? And we would probably talk about it. I mean, in today's day and age, we might take a picture, we might post about it just to share the goodness of what God's doing, to share that testimony, to build other people's faith, and that would be a highlight. But listen, that's what you see in Scripture. You see the instantaneous stuff. You see the miraculous, the things that happen instantly. What you don't see about a lot are all the times, which is what fills, but that's the 1%. What fills the other 99% of the way God moves are these gap moments. Where God, Jesus says one thing, nothing happens until a day later, a week later, a month later, a year later, a decade later. And there's a gap. So we got to fill the gap. So Jesus says, here's what you need to fill that gap with, Peter, since this has blown your mind so much. Peter, the first thing you need to do is have faith in God. Who do we have faith in? Who do we have faith in? Red Life Church? Justin Bradley, your grandma or grandpa, President Biden or Donald Trump or whoever you're supporting. I'm just here to bring people together. Huh? Who's to say to have faith in? The government? God. Have faith in God. Does it say have faith, just have faith? All right, I'm going to have to get on this a little bit. It's one of my pet peeves about our day and age we live in. Because we live in a day and age where everybody talks about faith. Oh, I just have faith. Oh, my faith. Oh, my faith got me through. Oh, I just have this faith. Let me tell you something. Faith that does not have an object is not faith. That's just wishes and dreams and hopes. You understand what I'm saying? To be faith, it must be rested upon an object, and the object of our faith is God. Amen? Have, Jesus didn't say, well, have faith. No, we have faith in someone, God. Amen, somebody? So we have faith in God. If I'm going to live in the gap, if I'm going to survive the gap, if I'm going to live in that gap and live in faith, I'm going to have faith in God. Now, how do I have, man, my faith is struggling. This gap has been so long. I've been saying, and I haven't been seeing anything. It's long, man, this gap is extended. I'm living in a big gap. First of all, I will say, join the club. I'm living in a big gap too. Many of us in this room are probably living in some sort of that kind of gap right now. Listen, if you want to fill that gap with faith, then where do you go to get faith? Let me tell you where to go to get faith. You go get faith right here in this word. Amen. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 actually tells us exactly where faith comes from. The Apostle Paul writes, faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Hearing and hearing. That means I can't just read it once, I got to read it again. And when I read it that second time, I need to read it again. If I want to feed my faith and fill my gap, the gaps in my life, and fill my life with faith, I cannot do that apart from God's word. Amen. So if you're struggling in faith, I would tell you this, find a way to get in the word. Fill your life with the word. Amen. Oh, I listen to podcasts and I listen to preaching and I come listen to you preach every Sunday, or I'm tuning into you preach every Sunday. That is great, and that is a way that we can get the word in us. But man, my friend, I'm telling you, you need more than that. You need to get in this book for yourself. And there are more ways to get in the word of God than ever before. If you are not regularly reading your Bible, and listen, I'm not here to, you better read your Bible. Listen, every day, listen, okay, you might miss a day, but man, let's just get to regularly reading the Bible. Amen. This is what I've learned about reading the Bible for me in my life, is the more I read it, the more I need it. Amen. The more I read it, the more I need it. The more that becomes a discipline, the more that becomes a habit in my life, the stranger I feel when I miss the moment that I to take and get the Word of God put inside my soul. Yeah. Amen? Amen? If you're not regularly reading the Bible right now, man, I cannot encourage you enough. If you've got a smartphone, whether it's an iPhone or an Android or a Samsung or whatever your deal is, man, go in your app store, type in the word Bible. The very first thing that comes up will be the YouVersion Bible app. It'll say Holy Bible or Bible on it. It is one of the most downloaded apps in all of the world, probably top five ever in history. And you can, for a free, and this cost you absolutely nothing. You can set up reminders. You can set up alerts. You can read right from your Bible if you choose to do so. You can find plans, short plans. If you're struggling with different areas and different topics, you can search for different topics and find 7-day plans, 30-day plans, 2-year plans to lead you through reading. Man, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a scripture a day, a chapter a day, 7 chapters a day. Just get the Word of God inside of you. And if you're struggling in faith, the Bible, Jesus, the Word of God has told us this is exactly, He has provided a place to go to build our faith. Amen? And since it's faith that I'm going to need to live in the gap and to get comfortable with the gap, I've got to go to get faith. Amen? And then this other one's a little sneaky, and it's a little, Jesus kind of slides this in here at the end. The other thing I'm going to need if I'm going to live in the gap between what I say and what I see, here's what happened. Let me tell you something. If it becomes obvious to my enemy that I'm not going to allow doubt and fear to rob me of the blessing of God, and I'm going to stay in faith, and I'm going to continue to stay in the Word, and my faith is going to be built up, then you know what? If he can't rob me of the plan of the destiny and purpose of God and the things that God has spoken and wants to do in my life, if he can't do it through fear and doubt, he will do it now. He will then do it through bitterness and unforgiveness. So Jesus says, have faith in God. And then the next thing he says is this. And also, while you're praying and building your faith, if you hold anything, if you hold a grudge against anyone, you need to release that. Because if you don't forgive your brothers, you're going to have a hard time finding forgiveness from the Father. Amen? So what Jesus is saying is this, you need to fill the gap with faith and keep unforgiveness. Don't let room for unforgiveness to come and fill that gap. Amen? Don't let unforgiveness and bitterness come in and fill that gap. Let me say it this way. A gap in forgiveness will create a gap in my faith. Amen? If there is a gap in my ability and willingness to forgive the people around me, that will create a gap in my faith. Faith as I'm trying to believe and live in the gap, believing God between what I see and what I say. Are you following me so far? So I've got to live in forgiveness. I cannot give room for and let me just say this. Listen, if you've been believing for something and you've been focused on something and you're believing God to do something great in your life and there's a, maybe it's a very specific thing, maybe it's a general sense of just, man, I know God's got more, whatever that looks like, whatever gap you're living in right now, listen to me close. If you're living in that gap right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and all of a sudden there begins to become situations and opportunities where you're able, where man, it could go either way, and you could flip a trigger real quick, and you could get hurt real quick, and you could get offended real easy, and you're finding an opportunity to be mad at people, and people are trying you and trying to test you and all this other stuff. Listen, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to take heart, because what that means is that your faith is built up to a place where the enemy knows that's not gonna change and go anywhere, and he's trying to come against you with something something else. Come on, somebody. And listen, the enemy only moves against God's sons and daughters who are moving against him. Amen, somebody? I heard a preacher one time say that the proof you're in God's will is the sound of the lion's roar, because the enemy runs around roaring like a lion, soon can see who he may devour. If you hear a roaring lion somewhere in your life, you know that you are on the path and the plan that God has for you. Amen, somebody? So when people are trying your patience, trying to get on every last nerve, when you're having to really struggle with this, guess what? You know that God's about to do something in your life. You know that what God has spoken, you are just about to see it. Don't you dare miss it because you decide to dwell in bitterness and hate and unforgiveness. Amen, somebody? A gap in my forgiveness. We create a gap in my faith. Now listen. So Jesus doesn't get his Swiss cake roll, doesn't get his snack. Curses this fig tree. Nothing happens. The disciples leave. They go back to their hotel, wherever they're staying at for the night. The sun goes down. And I got to believe, the way Peter reacts here, the Bible says he's amazed, he's shocked. Matthew says the disciples were amazed when they saw it. So it's not like, I don't believe anybody was expecting to see anything happen the next day. You know? That's not the sense I get from the telling of this moment. Because it seems to me like they just were going back to continue the 7-day celebration of the Passover. And then they happened to notice, oh man, look at that. Look at that, what Jesus said. We can see it. Wow, that's amazing. But when it initially happened, when Jesus initially speaks it, nothing happened at all. The sun went down, and everything looked the exact same as it did the day before. And this is where, if I could get a little prophetic, because I really felt like the Lord wanted me to tell somebody this today. This is what somebody needs to hear this morning. Listen to me close. Just because the sun has went down on a season in your life and you haven't seen anything happen, it doesn't mean the sun is going down on your miracle. Just because you're seeing the sun go down and everything looks the exact same as it did before, doesn't mean that God's forgotten about you. Just because you've spoken some things and believed some things and heard God's word and spoken God's word in your situation, listen, just because you see the sun setting and nothing looks like it has changed at all, listen, I want you to know real clearly, I heard the Holy Spirit speak this to me real clear. Listen to me. The sun isn't setting on your miracle. The sun isn't setting on your miracle. Just because a new day is dawn, just because it looks like time runs out, doesn't mean that God is not moving and that something is not happening, because God moves at the speed of his word, not at the speed of my sight. Amen, somebody? And let me just tell you something, man. If you're in a place where the sun has been setting, you're in a night season, you're in a dark season, you're in a dark place where, man, I don't know what's going on. I want you to know something. The night season, the dark season, when the sun goes down, that is prime time for miracles to be working and things to be happening when you can't see. I mean, that's when Jesus loves to move. That's when the Holy Spirit does things. That's when heaven seems to move. Listen, when it looks like it's night and it looks like the sun has gone down and it looks like you're going to have to live another day, I want you to know something. In the middle of your night season, while you couldn't see it, heaven has been open. Heaven has been moving. God has been responding, and things are happening even in your night season. And if you're in a dark season and a night season, that is a prime time. That is a great time for God to work a miracle in your life. Miracles are taking place beyond what you can see. So don't give up. Don't quit. Listen, I don't care if it's been a day. I don't care if it's been 2 days, 2 weeks, or 200. Listen to me close. The sun isn't setting on your miracle. The sun hasn't set on what God has said. I may not see it yet. whether I see it or not, it's happening. I said it's happening. I said it's happening. Amen. Somebody stand in Elvis' place this morning. Father, I pray right now that you will begin to fill us, will begin to fill us with the faith to live in the gap. Lord, I pray that you fill us, anoint us right now to live in the gap. For someone right now who's been living in the gap, I just feel like the Lord wants to refill that faith right now, just fill you with encouragement right now. If that's where you are, just lift your hands, just receive that encouragement from the Lord right now. Receive that fresh infilling of faith and of his presence, of his anointing to live in that gap right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now, God, right now for hearts to be filled, souls to be filled with faith right now in the name of Jesus to live in that gap. Lord, if there's any place where unforgiveness and bitterness, Lord, is trying to grab a foothold to fill the gap so that faith can't fill, Lord, we release that right now in Jesus' name. In fact, right now, just right where you are, you don't have to get real loud. Nobody has to hear it. But man, if you know you're harboring something against someone, you're having struggling, you're struggling with forgiveness in an area, man, just release that right now. Ask God to help you. I know it's hard. Man, sometimes we need a miracle of God just to be able to forgive. The hurt has been so devastating in our lives. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, help us to forgive those that we're struggling to forgive. Help us to let go and release those that we're struggling, those hurts and those pains, those bondages, God, that bitterness, Lord, that we might be struggling to let go of, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I declare right now in the name of Jesus, the sun isn't setting on your word for our life. The sun hasn't set on what you have said over our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, if you receive that word right now, just lift up your voice. Come on, put your hands together right now. Let's just thank him right now for that. Come on, let's thank him right now. Receive that. Come on and say, Lord, I receive that for me right now. In Jesus' name. In this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't want you to leave this room or this moment without having an opportunity to do that. If you're online right now with us, maybe you're not even with us, maybe you're in the building, in a room with someone, you can hear it in the background, but something's getting a hold of you right now, wherever you are, whatever time of day this is. This moment might just be for you. This might be Jesus reaching through the phone or the computer or the TV or whatever it is, saying right now, it's time. Whether that's online or in this building right now, with every head bowed or every eye closed, maybe in this place, you say, man, I'm not where I should be. I'm not living like I should be, man. I'm not following Jesus like I should be. Man, if I'm honest, I really never have. Or man, if I'm honest, I used to, but I've walked away, I've given up. Man, I want you to know right now, wherever you are on that spectrum, if you are away from Jesus, Jesus is here right now to welcome you home. And all you have to do is say yes to him. Say yes, I'm coming home. And whatever, we're gonna pray in just a moment. You can pray with me. I encourage you to do that, or you can pray in your own way. However you're gonna do it, man, come home to God. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, and rose again 3 days later. And he did it all so that you and I could come home to the Father. By way of Jesus. And there really is no other way. There really is no other way. You've got questions? I can't promise we've got all the answers, but man, I would love to pray with you, talk to you about that. And man, if that's too much, if that's too personal, that's too in your face, you can go to our website at redlifechurch.com, right in the middle of the page. Put that picture up so you can see what it looks like. Right in the middle of the page, it says, are you ready to say yes to Jesus? You ready to say yes to Jesus? Computer, put that picture up. There we go. Right there, that's what it looks like. Man, there's about an 8-minute explainer video that will walk you through every step, and you can pray right there with us, man, and get questions answered. And man, you can always contact us. We're ready to do that. Have whatever way works for you, right here in person, right there, man, just come home to God. Just come home to God today in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. Stretch your hands this way. I want to pray this blessing over you. We're going to be dismissed and released to get ready for baptism. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you.